We're coming to our second study. You remember a few weeks ago that we started our study in this theme on spiritual warfare. We began Ephesians 6 and we started in verse 10. Today we'll pick it up in verse 11. But in this theme of spiritual warfare, in our first study, we saw, or Paul makes very clear to us, that there's a spiritual battle for every Christian. For every Christian, young and old, man, woman, it doesn't matter where they are, but they're in a battle. It's a spiritual warfare. And so you and I, every Christian, must be ready. There is no casualness to war. There is no casualness to this spiritual warfare that Paul is dealing with here in Ephesians 6. So Paul, as we looked at two or three weeks ago, Paul made it abundantly clear to the Ephesian Christians and to every Christian through the ages that the enemy is Satan. We have a clear, defined enemy. He's real. We talked about this. He's real. He has a host of demons that work with him, and he uses methods. He's crafty. He uses schemes to destroy people, and therefore he is a fierce and true enemy for every Christian. There is no casualness about this subject. It's powerful. It's real. And so Paul is leading up to the armor of God. So far, that's our starting point, a true enemy. Today, we're going to talk about a different theme, and that is the only way we can stand or be firm in our footing, in our life, in our Christian living, is to wear God's armor. And Paul uses this tremendous word here before he gets to the details of the armor. He uses the word stand, to stand. And I want that to be our theme today. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, and I'll read through verse 13. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Let me pray. Father, your word is so full and rich and glorious, so helpful, so needful. Lord, we read this, we come to you, Lord, wanting to be equipped in these very truths, to understand this theme, this truth of being in your armor, in your strength, and in your power, not trying to do Christianity our own way, but walking in the power of God from on high, your mercies. Lord, we ask you to give your word a light and clarity and help today, this theme of standing, this theme, Lord, it's so connected to the warfare and the armor to help us to stand and resist and to come through the schemes of the wicked one. Grant your people help today. Lord, we're in different places, different needs, different struggles. But you'll teach us. You'll give help. Lord, we don't want to go backwards. We want to go with you. We want to be drawn with cords upward and onward with you. We want to be strong today. So help us to be helped and sobered and brought along. Blessed be your name. Amen. There are some common phrases that we hear when someone has come through a very difficult situation. They persevered through something, and you'll hear this. You'll just hear it in manner of speech, right? When we talk, you hear others talking, or you'll hear a news story. And there's phrases that we hear like this. After all he went through, he was still standing. You'll hear that phrase. You'll hear that said in different ways. Or you'll hear a statement like this. Through thick and thin, that guy stood strong. That person stood strong. You know what I'm saying? You hear phrases like this. You'll probably hear phrases like that in the coming weeks with things around us so turbulent right now. And people will say, that person is just anchored. They're strong. They're strong in the Lord. That's ultimately what we would want to say about each other. But it is a truth. And this is getting to what Paul desires for every Christian. In spiritual warfare. He's not just talking to the Ephesians. He's speaking to every Christian in every age. And Paul's theme, or where he's going on this spiritual armor that we're to be wearing, is leading to a truth, and that is that we'd be strong. We would stand strong. We wouldn't get blown over. We wouldn't get destroyed or sifted. And so that's the thrust here of where Paul is going as he's preparing these Christians, these Ephesian Christians, for the armor, the symbolism and the reality of the armor of God that every Christian is to wear. You connect it. With armor, you stand. Without armor, without God's means, you don't stand. And that's what Paul is getting at. So the Christian, you and I, today, this week, in our homes, everything that we're about, we must be fully engaged and fully armored. That's what Paul is giving us in these beautiful, glorious verses. God's given them to us. These are coming from him, and Paul is the writer, as we said last time, probably chained to a Roman guard in these days when he was writing this. So being strong, having good footing. But I have to say that over the past 25 years, I've seen many professing Christians who seem to have this attitude, I'm doing just fine. I'm not really worried about all this armor stuff. It sounds a little dramatic to me. I mean, this is a different day. And so they've dismissed it. I'm talking about people I've been around, people out in work, people in society, people within extended family. They act like, well, why are you making this such a big deal about standing or this armor? And the reason is because without it, no Christian can stand against Satan's attacks, his schemes and his methods. To not have the armor is to put oneself in a way of getting knocked down, sifted, crushed, destroyed. Who knows where that leads to? And so it isn't an optional thing. That's what Paul is saying. He's emphasizing before he actually gets to the specifics of the armor that you might stand. Do this that you might stand. And many of those that I'm referring to, sadly, got sifted, walked away from the faith, not wearing armor, no protection, no mindset of the day that they were in. I could recount some sad stories, which you probably would have some yourself, where Satan's schemes and his methods absolutely destroy them. They got deceived in their thinking, and they walked away from the truth. They got ensnared in horrible sin because they were careless, and they wrecked their life. They absolutely wrecked their lives and their families or their marriages or their extended relationships got ruined because they were careless. They didn't think there was anything to this battle, or they got disillusioned in their daily walk. They became apathetic, careless, disinterested, and they wondered why the Christian life wasn't fun and easy. So you see, beloved, we're talking about a mindset of being ready for war today, tomorrow, in how we walk as spiritual, redeemed vessels of God. So, brethren, wearing God's armor is the only way to fight against our enemy. It's the only way for you and I to fight. God's armor. There's all these ideas and all these techniques that men come up with, and they don't go to the scriptures. God has told us how to be equipped that we might be able to stand. And that's the thrust of today. Keep standing, brother, sister, young one, older one. Keep standing. Keep your feet anchored. Keep your life stayed upon Jehovah, on Christ Jesus. Paul uses this word stand forcibly in these verses. It's not a casual word. It's not just added. It is huge in the flow of what he's writing here. Stand, 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 withstand. Paul uses it these four different times. But today, I want us to look at three ways that Paul states this. He says we need to stand against Satan's schemes. Second, we need to stand in the evil days. And third, we need to remain standing after the ongoing attacks. Beloved, let God give grace today to you and to me as we think about this theme from God's word. First, let's go back to Ephesians 6:11. Look at the second part of the verse. The first truth here connected to standing is against Satan's schemes. Now, we talked about this last time, but look at the second part of verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There it is, to stand against the wiles or the methods of the devil. Now, we need to start by getting hold of this word stand. What is Paul meaning? What was the language here in the Greek? What are we grappling with when he's using a word that we use in the English as stand? But what were some meanings to this? What was he getting at here? First, his first use of the word stand is connected to the wiles or the schemes of the devil. The Greek word here means to hold up. It means to hold up, to be able to keep your barrier, to keep your fortress firm, because God's armor is what does that. But it gives you a barrier. It holds you up, God's means of grace, so that you can stand against his attacks. Paul is emphasizing clearly from this first statement that we must be armored to hold up, to actually have a fortress, because all kinds of schemes and methods of the enemy, the wicked one, all kinds of attacks from him are coming against us constantly. Sometimes they're obvious, sometimes they're subtle. But the only way to be held up is through the armor of God, and the only way to be standing, which is what this is all about, is to apply this, to live it, to have this on. He knows how to attack our weaknesses. If I pause right here and we're able to share with each other, do you feel like he comes at your weakness? And the answer would be resoundingly, yes, he comes at our weakness. And so Paul's very emphasis is you've got to hold your ground. You've got to hold up right there in your weakness. You've got to have the armor of God that protects you in that area. That fortress has to be real, or you're not going to stand. You're not going to hold up. You're not going to be able to push anything back. We sometimes will use the phrase, hold your ground. If he's attacking our weaknesses, how do you hold your ground? Well, the armor of God, which we're going to get into, is the means of grace. But holding our ground, you'll hear that phrase, which, again, it's just another way of stating the word stand, holding the ground. I wish I had Clint here, or one of you men that have served in the armed forces. This phrase, hold your ground, when used in a military sense, has massive meaning to it. You brothers that are hearing this, that have been involved in this kind of training, or actually been in places where war is going on, you know exactly what I'm saying. And that's really symbolic of what Paul's probably getting at here. You've got to hold or stand against attacks. And the military trains men daily, weekly, year-round, preparing them for these kinds of realities. So it has this picture of holding a critical position when you're under attack. Everybody with me on that? So that we're holding ground by the means of grace, God's armor, so that we can keep the ground where we are. We're not knocked back or destroyed. And so it's a critical position, like the military, when they're trying to hold a critical position. That is to be fortified properly, because the military knows if they're not fortified, the enemy will find the weakness and come through it and destroy it. And things at that point can go to ruin. So stay with this picture in a military sense, if that's what, in a sense, Paul is getting at, that we're to stand or hold up against the schemes or the devices of the wicked one. The military has to do it in their way. And think of this story back during the Civil War, during the buildup to the Gettysburg battle. There were smaller skirmishes that were occurring and events that were happening that give us this picture. So there's, and ultimately there are no small battles, no small battles in the Christian life, and there's no small battles in war. But before the big battle at Gettysburg, there were smaller battles around that geographic area that were occurring. And so those small encounters impacted the flow or the events of the rest of the war and who was the victor. A small band of men from the Union Army, some of you know this story, a small band of army was at the flank. They were at the end. They were at the final protection point for the Union Army. And they were holding a spot there at Gettysburg where people, the men, would hold that higher ground because it was a strategic holding. And in this series of events before the big battle at Gettysburg, this Union Army showed extraordinary courage, and they held the line. They had to hold the line, because if they didn't hold the line there, the Southern Army would break through, and there would be a destruction coming from that side of the battlefield. But that small group held the line. They held the flank, and therefore they protected that piece of ground. And ultimately, everything at Gettysburg ultimately hinged on that smaller battle. That position of holding won that day and won the position at Gettysburg. It's an amazing picture, and it's a great reality of holding our ground. We have to hold ground. We have to stand. We have to realize that the enemy comes with all of his tactics, and we have to be anchored in the means of grace, here the armor that God gives us. So you as a Christian and I as a Christian, we must hold up. We must fortify and be mindful of what's coming our way. It's the only way to remain standing. It cannot be every now and then I get serious about this stuff. It's serious every day, every day. John Calvin said it this way, can we win the victory? Can we hold our ground? Yes. The text, what God's giving us here in Ephesians 6, is telling us, yes, he will give his strength and his help. But John Calvin said it this way, if we only put on the whole armor of God and fight valiantly to the end, we shall certainly stand. He is right. If we put it on and we fight under the grace and means of God with us, upon us, in us, we shall stand. We don't have to fear being pushed back. There are battles. They are real. There are struggles, but we can stand. God gives grace. That's what this text is all about, giving us grace to stand in the midst of warfare. What happens, though? What happens to you or me or others, as I alluded to a few minutes ago, who are not ready, who don't think the armor is significant? They only pick and choose what they're going to be serious about in the Christian life. What happens to them if they become casual? If you become casual, if we become casual in these days, these are different days. We can't become casual. We're to give ourselves to the means of grace in our homes and all the things that we're about. Even though we're not out as much in these days, the battles are still there. They're real battles, and we're totally vulnerable. So what happens if we're not ready? What happens if you don't have fortify certain positions in your Christian life? Because the schemes and the methods will come. You put yourself in harm's way. You put yourself in the direct attack of the wicked one if you're casual, such as wrong types of company and crowds, less so right now, but wrong types of companions, wrong places, wrong activities. Beloved, we can't be casual right now in these areas. Wrong books, wrong readings, wrong things that go into our minds, wrong music, wrong movies, wrong literature, whatever form or art that it comes in or entertainment. Any of these, today, tomorrow, 6 months from now, can be dangerous ground if we're casual. We have to fortify and know the truth, walk in God's means, because we're going to be attacked. Brothers, sisters, you're being attacked. And you'll feel it more on certain days than you will on others. But the war is still going on. Just because a small battle may feel insignificant, it doesn't mean there's bigger ones coming. The small battles are the means of grace to the bigger battles. The winning, God gives grace in. So we can't put ourselves in harm's way. We can't just be casual or independent about this, that we can stand on our own. You must be equipped in the armor of God to hold up for what is coming and what does come from the devil and his host of evil, wicked demons. So there's no exceptions and no casualness to this. Each of you, each of us as brothers and sisters in our great Redeemer, have to stand up today, hold our position. So that's the first emphasis here. This word of standing, connected to the wiles or the schemes of the devil, is brought in a way that Paul is saying, this is the way to fortify. That's the first meaning that he's getting at in standing. Let's go to the second one. Go down to verse 13, the first part of verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. It's the same essential word there, and that is the same thrust of what Paul's getting at. That with the armor of God, you see where he's going with this, we will be able to stand or withstand in the evil day. Here, in a unique way, the meaning of this emphasis here of Paul is to resist. Actually, the NASB translates it that way, to be able to resist in the evil day. Or it means, in a very modern way of expressing it, to push it back, to push back what's coming against you. The first is to fortify, hold the position, hold where you are so that there's a barrier. There is a protection against his attacks. Here, it means resist or push it back, to squelch, to cause the works of the enemy against you, his lies, his efforts against you to be pushed back. That we're not knocked over. Not only we're holding position, but we're actually pushing back against the evil day. Now, isn't that an interesting phrase? Paul says that we would be able to resist in the evil day. Resisting. Yes, beloved, when the devil and his demons assault you, that you would be able to resist in the evil day. Now, that phrase right there probably conjures up all kinds of thoughts by you and I. The evil day, it could be translated days. It's not just one day. We're not just talking about one battle, one time where you feel a spiritual battle against you, the lies of the enemy, the wicked one. But it's days. The phrase means plural. In the evil days, there will be extended days of evil. Every Christian, as A.W. Tozer said, the wind is in their face. They face a constant resistance or a force of the enemy and his lies and his schemes. But Paul is saying that we'd be able to resist. We would be the one pushing those back in the evil days. Plural. We can't just think, well, when I was younger, when I get a little older, it'll be easier for me. That's careless thinking, brothers or sisters. If you're younger in the faith and you're younger and you're thinking these days will be the most difficult. Every chapter of the Christian life has battles. You cannot be careless to think, oh, if I can just get through this chapter, everything will be good. Everything will settle in. I'll be stronger. Beloved, you can't think that way. There are evil days right now in our country and across the world that Christians are facing. Different types, different levels of struggles. There are evil days, and that's what Paul's saying, that we'd be able to resist in the evil days. We'd be able to conquer, triumph. Now, when you think about that, evil days, I suspect, as I've been saying that you're having thoughts like I've been having about different times and seasons in your Christian life where the acute attacks of the enemy you feel. I'm sure we could talk about this together, one-on-one, like if we were at the lunch table. What are the battles that you've gone through? And there's sometimes those evil days become even more pronounced, no doubt in my mind. Any Christian who's lived in Christ very long, and certainly for years, realizes those battles ebb and flow in different ways. But it's a constant reality of warfare. And I think that's essentially why Paul is emphasizing this word stand here and in this way, pushing back or resisting. Because those seasons come, and sometimes they are more acute. There are days and places and moments where the intense evil is against you and you know it. There are also days and places and moments where we don't see it as much, and that's where we're vulnerable. And we can't be casual about it. We have to walk in the truths of God and in all that He's given us so that we're discerning, that we're aware, that we're on guard. And so these evil days, we can't just think, are here and there. They're not just in March and then again in June. They're every day in different ways. Thoughts of the mind, thoughts that come against you, thoughts that are around you, things that you might hear be prone to give yourself to, that the enemy, he's crafty. So the battles, don't you feel that? Don't you feel the evil days? You feel those times, you've known it, you've experienced it, you've had to walk in it, and you can reflect, you can look back on them and you can know that God just helped me. He delivered me. He brought me through that. Otherwise, I would have been sifted by the enemy's schemes against me. Years ago, on this theme of resisting in the evil days, many years ago, Brother Mac had gone to Fiji. He could tell the story. I wish he could be on this broadcast too, but he went to Fiji, and as I remembered, he was gone a couple of weeks, preached numerous sermons there in the ministry of that conference. And I don't remember all the specifics, but he flew back, and I picked him up at DFW Airport. And it seems like it was late at night, 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and I picked him up. And he was tired, time zones, everything else going on. But when Matt got in my car, we began to talk about just – the first thoughts that he wanted to share with me about the trip. And I remember vividly the first 10 or 15 minutes after he got in my car, we're driving home, just the two of us, Mac began to share with me the force of evil that he felt in that time of being there. And he would have to put it in his words. But I just remember in that drive, that's the most vivid thing I remember about the drive, is him saying how much spiritual warfare he felt while he was in Fiji, there laboring in gospel teaching and ministry. And he said to me, it felt like there was a constant force against him the whole time. I think even in his words, he said, I've never felt something like that before. And so there he is in evil days, having to possess himself, stand strong, resist by the grace of God, the truths of God, the armor of God, and he had to resist. He couldn't bail out. He's there. God's with him. He has the Holy Spirit. He has the scriptures. He has the armor of God. He has the grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ with him through the Holy Spirit. And he had to resist in the evil days. And he did by the grace of God. But as we drove home, that was sinking into me, Philip, take heed. Brothers, sisters listening to this today, take heed. This is not just for a few here and there, not just for missionaries, not just for some pastors or elders. This is you and I. You have to resist. Your days in Fiji could be different and will be different. But the real battles, the real struggles, some of you men in your work, some of you men in your different ways that you have to go about your business, in your companies or in your activities or in your travels, they're evil days. You can't be casual. You can't be passive. You have to be active. You have to be gird up the loins of your mind, and we have to put on this armor. We have to live in it. It's not an armor that we ever put off. We walk in it. He gives grace in it. He equips us so that we can remain standing. We can resist. We can push it back. And Brother Mac shared that reality from that trip. Beloved, it's God's armor that enables you and I to be both defensive and offensive. The armor of God, as we'll get into it, is defensive in protecting, and it's offensive in what we do to refute or to stand against the attacks of the wicked one. So it's not just trying to hunker down and wait. We're both defensive and offensive, and we're going to get into this with more specifics in the coming weeks. Remember the text that a few weeks back that we read out of 1 Peter. I'll read it to us again. This theme of resisting, this theme of holding our ground and pushing back. Peter said, be sober, 1 Peter 5, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You remember that, but what's the next part? Whom resist steadfast in the faith. There it is. Same word, same meaning, same impetus that he's getting to, which is resisting, pushing back. Don't just hold the ground, but fight back against it and push it back. So it's not just defensive, it's offensive, in that we are using the means of grace that we're given. And we're going to see this in the coming verses. We're going to get into the shield of faith, which is resisting what attacks are coming our way, and the sword of the Spirit, God's word, God's truth, God's realities that we claim, that we live in, and that we speak it to ourselves, that we speak to others. We strengthen one another's hands in God in these very truths. We say, brother, we're not going to believe those lies. Brothers, be careful. The sisters, you have to strengthen each other in these realities. We have to resist steadfast in the faith. And we do that, as I've been saying, both in a defensive posture and an offensive posture. There are times for the Christian to be on the offensive, not in being harsh with people. You know what I'm saying. But offensive in correcting and standing against such lies and evil in their day. God will show us. He'll give you grace in that. But you've got to be thinking that way. We all have our battles and our pushing back that we have to walk in. And the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit gloriously give us the offense or the defenses that we can use and the offense that we can use to win. Now, you remember Brother Martin Luther, 1500s. That's what Luther had to do. His days of evil. This is a theme, beloved, resisting in the evil days. For you as men, for you as women, for you young people, you have to resist in your chapter that you're in Luther's chapter, in the different chapters of the different men, Lloyd-Jones in his day, and on, the different brethren through the ages. They had to stand or resist in their day. They were not casual. Martin Luther, in a sense, was standing alone, in a sense. Y'all know what I mean by that. But he was defending the authority and the perfection of God's Word, the truths of God's Word. And he was facing evil days, the attacks of the wicked one, the attacks of rulers and authorities, and some of the things we read about, we've been reading in this text. And Luther had to stand. He had to resist. He couldn't just sit back, but he had to defend, and then he had to go on the offensive, or he was on the offense of bringing truth to correct the lies. So he had evil days. You and I have evil days. There are all kinds of things flying around in our day today. The Christians have to walk in the truth. We have to have the right spirit. We got to possess the truth accurately. We can't be smug in our trying to answer everybody's questions. We don't know everything God's doing. We just know that God rules. And we can't be acting like we're a know-it-all. But we have to walk in the truth to correct false things that come forth. People that would depend on the strength of men. People that depend on the systems of men. People that are arrogant. People that are God-belittling. On and on and on. The evil days, beloved, we have to walk like Luther. He was under attack of the wicked one, and you and I are too. And we have to learn the grace of God to resist in the evil day. So not only just holding your position to hold up, holding the line, but then to actually resist and push back and gain victories in that way. Paul is saying that you'd be able to stand or resist in the evil day. God help us on that. Lastly, the second part of verse 13, go back to that. That you'd be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And having done all, to stand. That sure seems like a simple statement, doesn't it? Paul, what in the world are you talking about here? And having done all. Here, the meaning of this application of stand is the meaning to continue to be standing. Paul is getting it, maybe a summary statement, that the armor of God and us having the right posture, the right spirit, and the right equipping to fight the fight in the battles that we're in our day, that we continue to stand after all the onslaughts, after all the battles, after different struggles and different attacks that you feel, that you remain standing. That's what he's getting at. And having done all, or at the end of the battles, at the end of the ongoing struggles against these things, you're still standing. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes we think, when you see other Christians, I mean, I think of Jeffrey Thomas, who we love so much, the brother who just continues on preaching, rejoicing, laboring in the kingdom, facing heresy and all kinds of things he's faced in his battle for the truth. And yet he just keeps going. He's still standing. He's still preaching. He's still zealous. He's still full of joy, love and compassion and tenderness with people. And he's lived these realities. God's done it for him and in him. But having lived the Christian life, you know, year after year after year, that brother's still standing. I want to keep standing. You need to keep standing. Each of us. It's our day. It's our battles. These are our days that we walk in. These are our times that we want to be standing. We don't want to be set aside. We don't want to be knocked back. We don't want to do like some of the Christians I mentioned early on when I started. Their lives have never recovered. I could give you people's names, families, men that I know, and they're nowhere close to the things of God anymore. They've been casual. They didn't put on the full armor of God. And after having done all, in their case, having not done all, they're not standing anymore. It's very real, beloved. It's very right where we live. God help us to see the earnestness of this, to continue to stand. You know, sometimes a younger Christian might go, well, what's the big deal with that? To continue to stand. I mean, you know, come on, Paul, say more than that. There is something about living through the battle and a guy still standing or a woman still standing. There's something very powerful and God glorifying to that reality. Those older ones, when we used to go to the Bentley camps and the different ones that have walked with God and lived through hard things and had battles and had real intense warfare, and they're still standing. They're full of the high praises of God and grace and maturity in the faith. They're continuing to stand. Beloved, we don't even know when we're going to be able to gather together in our normal sense. Hopefully soon. But in the meantime, you've got to keep standing. You've got to hold up. You got to walk in the truth. You got to be fortified in the truth. You got to stir your own heart. You got to press on in the greatness of God. We've got to go with Him. We've got to let Him draw us, and we be strong, and we fight the fight, and we stand for truth, and we stand strong in this day and through all that's happening in America right now, that we would be standing, that we'd be a light, we'd be a testimony to many of the gospel of our great Savior, that our standing would be real. Not for pride's sake, but for the glory of God, that we will be standing. It is a big thing. It is a big thing to live the Christian life month after month, year after year, growing in grace, going on in the Lord, and still be standing. There is glorious truth to that. It's not a small thing. It's a massive thing, especially in our day where we are and what's happening around us now. These are the days, beloved, to hold new ground, grab new ground, grow in grace, see the gospel advance in us, in our families, and with those in society. You'll be on conference calls. There'll be different ways you're interacting with people. But you need to speak truth and live in the truth that you're standing, that these battles would come, but yet you would be standing. So Paul is saying, having done all, after these battles, after the ongoing struggles in the Christian life, you will still be standing. I mean, here's a guy who had lived it. Paul, standing. His schemes, his lies, meaning of the wicked one, his slanderings, his evils will continue, and they will continue, and they will continue. But you and I, by God's fortress, meaning His armor, His protection, His strength, and His power, we will continue to stand. We will be standing strong in our great God. So this small phrase is packed with reality and encouragement that we can press on and be stable and strong and standing whatever the day we're in. Ultimately, beloved, what is our goal? Ultimately, our goal is to keep standing by being anchored or being abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be in the vine, that we would be His, that we would be growing in grace, and therefore all that He's giving, all that He's protecting us from, is causing us to press on and grow, be fruitful, and be standing and remaining His power and His protection with us. So three ways that Paul is exhorting those Christians and us to stand. And that is that we stand and that we hold our position. We hold. We stand against the wiles of the devil. Second, that we stand in the evil days, that you will have different windows of time, different struggles, but it's constant. There'll be different battles along the way, but that you would be able to push it back and resist it. You'd be able to hold the ground and go forward with grace and victory. And third, that you would remain standing through the days, through the years, that your feet would be standing on our great God and Savior, and that you would be a means of grace to others. So, beloved, as I begin to close, let these teachings sink in. We could have jumped right into the specifics of the armor and missed the thrust, the heartbeat of Paul, and we could have gone right into it and missed what is he saying. He's saying, if you don't do this, you won't stand. You have an enemy. He is relentless, but you can stand and you will stand. You'll endure. You'll come through this, but you have to be given yourself to God's ways, God's armor that He will give us. So Paul's exhortation on keeping our footing, that we stay standing. How will you, brother? How will you, sisters? What are your battles? What are you thinking about? What are you going into? One of them right now, beloved, is fear. The enemy wants to cause fear and confusion. We don't need to give ourselves to that. We need to walk in joy and confidence in our God. The casting of the lot, the ruling of the nations, the sending of the wind, the kingdoms of men, it's all in God's hands. How will we keep standing? We believe God in these days. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The nations are His. All of it's His. We have to stand on that. We have to believe God. We have to let the truth of God dwell in us richly, stirring our hearts, giving us joy. Beloved, if you resist and fight in God's armor, you will remain standing. You will remain standing, beloved, if you resist and fight in God's armor. Calvin is right, because that's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, God is saying to the Holy Spirit, you do this, walk in this, and you will stand. So, beloved, let's have the right mindset. Let's get our thinking and our what day are we in? Where are we? What is this Christian life about with our great Savior? And we have the right mindset, that you equip yourself, that you are alert, that you are wearing the armor of God, and that you're acknowledging that you're in a battle. Sometimes that's the first place, just acknowledging it, being real with where you are. Yes, beloved, we must wear his armor. We must use his means of grace to keep standing. He'll do it. He's with us. He'll be our strength. He'll be our fortress. Amen. Blessed be his name. May God bless his word to his people. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this great letter. Lord, thank you for this truth to us, to the Christians through the ages. What this has meant to men and women through the ages, the battles, the struggles, the days of evil, thinking of the men in their times, those that we've read about and countless others that we'll never know until we meet them in glory, that you worked this in them. Martin Luther in his day, different men in different times, in different battles, but with one great God and Savior, walking in your armor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can stand, that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Lord, that's your ways. That's your purposes for us, your mercies for us, that we can stand in the evil days. We don't have to lose ground. We don't have to go back. We can go forward. You advancing us, you triumphing for us and in us, Lord. And that after the battles, after the ongoing attacks, we can still be standing. What a profound, incredible reality. Lord, help us. We need that. We need you. We need your power and grace. Help us in these days just to be full of your truth, full of praises, peace, joy. Lord, being ready to give even words of life to others. Help us to learn how to stir one another and sharpen one another and exhort one another in the most holy faith. How to do this daily in our day, from house to house, how we speak to each other. Build us up. Make us strong. Use us for your glorious gospel in this generation, Lord. We don't want to be selfish. We don't want to shrink back. We want to be living it together, and we want it to flow over to the world around us. Help us, Lord. Blessed be your name. Thank you for the Lord Jesus, our glorious Redeemer. Amen.